saddened by the news of the announcement of the death of Toni Morrison, the Nobel Prize winning novelist who wrote many incredible books. I think a lot of people first got to know her by seeing the movie that Oprah Winfrey starred in, Beloved, after the book that she wrote in 1987. That's certainly how I had heard about her, but I admittedly didn't know as much as I do now, reading a little bit, and I keep on getting more and more impressed as I read her biography and hopefully purchase and buy and read a couple more of her books. Talking about her legacy, not only obviously as an important American figure, an important author, but as someone who has really kind of guided curriculums for English classes across the past couple decades, we're joined by Helen Jun, the Associate Professor of English at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Helen, thanks for joining us here on WGN.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I was wondering if you could, for people that don't know much about Toni Morrison, if you could give us a little bit of her importance and legacy in English literature.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think you're right that most people became familiar with Morrison with the publication of Beloved in 1987. And it really kind of marked a shift. I mean, I think it was something that was changing within the scene of U.S. literature, period, where that was sort of a turning point where it became impossible for American literature courses to feature syllabi that had only white writers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, while her work goes back much earlier to the 1970s, and I actually would hope that people will remember and read her work in context of, you know, she came up with a core group of black feminist writers in the 1970s, like Audre Lorde, June Jordan, Toni K. Bambara, and, you know, black women writers that were really kind of writing unapologetic, sort of brutally unflinching narratives about, you know, in some ways, the impact of white supremacy on the lives of people in the black community, particularly black women and girls, so much her focus.
I had read that obviously she brought in many ways, in ways that other novels hadn't in the past, the idea that the black or African-American woman could be the central figure in novels where they usually were relegated towards more side roles, side characters.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, I think, I mean, one, we don't want to overstate that, you know, I think we're going to start hearing things about the awards that she won. You know, Gwendolyn Brooks won the Pulitzer Prize as early as 1950 and was very, you know, her work very much did center on black female characters, sometimes, you know, black girls. But there was something about the forcefulness of Morrison's critique, and again, sort of on how unapologetic she was in sort of creating these narratives about the impact, again, of white supremacy and sort of the history in the shadow of chattel slavery within and across the United States.
I imagine you should look at her work, some of which, of course, took place in other centuries, I guess, or that's where they were.
Mm-hmm.
But the lessons and the stories, man, they couldn't be any more appropriate today than to have these discussions.
Yeah, I mean, it was a heavy morning for people to hear of her death in a week that has been sort of punctuated by a kind of white supremacist violence that has also been at the kind of core of her work as a writer. You know, that goes back decades, you know, half a century. And so, it's a tremendous loss.
I didn't realize that she had also been an editor at some point at Random House, and that must have been quite a leap for her. And she grew up in rural Ohio, right?
Yeah, that's right. So she did. She emerged. She comes out of the Midwest, actually, before she attended Howard University. You know, Tennessee Coates calls the Mecca. Before she did various kind of teaching gigs at smaller schools, and eventually, of course, with the success that she garnered by the 1980s, you know, was teaching at Princeton University towards the end of her career.
I love our producer has read Beloved. I unfortunately haven't, but I'm going to be adding that to the list, as well as her debut novel. I've been reading a lot of amazing reviews, The Bluest Eye, adding it to my list as well to read. I know that a lot of curriculum, especially in our area, requires Beloved as reading and as an introduction to high school students about that sort of work. I imagine that is one of those lasting legacy sort of things. Obviously, when it gets kind of set into the curriculum like that, it becomes part of the culture of our high school students, and man, there's no better way to have a lasting legacy than making kids sit down and read something that maybe they otherwise wouldn't have.
Yeah, right. And I mean, I think her other novels from that same period, that same decade at least, like Sula, Song of Solomon, one of the things she was also doing, was really creating these stories with very complex representations of Black female sexuality. And, you know, was doing this in the, you know, as early as 1970. And so, you know, it's also quite a leap, I would think, for some of the high schools that are, you know, that have put something like Bluest Eye and some of her other work on the syllabus and on the curriculum.
I was reading a 1989 Time magazine article, so that's 30 years ago, and some of the things that she was saying in there, they would probably raise some eyebrows now, let alone 30 years ago, especially about the idea that not every home has to have two parents in it, that single mothers are doing the yeoman's work, and they can do it just fine on their own, and that it really takes communities to build people up and to build children up, and that everyone can go at their own pace. I imagine that she ruffled a lot of feathers along the way, not only in what she was writing, but in the interviews and speeches she would give outside of that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's part of what's so great about her work, and what, you know, makes it a pleasure sometimes to read or to listen to some of her interviews. Morrison did not hold back, and, you know, it was the power of her work, and it's what so many of us appreciate about what she's done.
You've kind of touched on it, obviously, here so far, but as we, you know, you mentioned too, we talk about awards so much when someone passes, and I think that that's an introduction for people, but I think it's so important for people that even, you know, in the weeks that will go by after her passing, to pick up one of those novels if you haven't, and to read it. I think so many times we eulogize and we look back and we count up the awards of our great authors that have left us, but it is so vital to actually read the words that they've written. That could probably be the best tribute one could have.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Particularly, I think some of her earlier novels, again, the ones that emerged in the 1970s. She also has a great work of essays called Playing in the Dark. And this is something that has also been incredibly influential in terms of literary studies within the United States. And I'd really encourage people to take a look at that as well.
All right. Helen Judd, thank you so much for joining us here last minute on WGN. I really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.